We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you haven't had a chance to look at the prayer focus, I would invite you to do that and encourage you to continue to pray for those folks. Catherine is home. Praise God for that. Selena is home. We praise God for that. But we continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for those that you know are hurting, sick, and maybe for those that have lost their way. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We really do. Forgive us for the times that it doesn't show. Father, we need you. We really do. Forgive us for the times that we act like we don't. We need a Savior. It's not in a pastor, it's not in a president, it's not in a king, it's not in a pope. It's Jesus. Wonderful, merciful Savior, we need you. We desperately do. And so I just pray this morning, Father, for continued healing. And those on our prayer focus, I thank you that Selena and Catherine are home. Pray that you would continue to touch their bodies and help them to be well in Jesus' name. I pray for those that are here with us this morning, Father, that don't feel good. I pray for Dwight here this morning, and Ron Odenthal, and Rich Flansburg, and Gary, who's trying to recover from surgery. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that hurt, and Larry, who's going to have surgery. Father, lay your healing hand upon them, I pray and ask in the name of Jesus. Encourage and strengthen them. Glorify your name in each one. We pray for those on the prayer focus that aren't here, that are hurting, and those that maybe could be on the prayer focus and didn't make it. We lift them up to you and ask, Father God, intervene. We thank you again for our police officers and our firefighters, who many of which were here last week. Watch over them, Lord. Protect them and their families. Save their souls. Save our communities, O God. Redeem the lost, set the captive free. Give sight to the blind, heal the sick, heal the brokenhearted. Preach the good news to the poor through your servants, O God. Thank you for this day. We have come to worship you. Continue to speak to our hearts as we have come to worship you this morning, Lord. Touch broken bodies, touch broken hearts. Touch broken marriages. Draw people to yourself. Guide the other pastors, the other churches. May your name be glorified now and always, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Because it is Pastor Appreciation Month, I know that so many of you have done so much for us, and we just want to say thank you. I so appreciate you. I so appreciate what God has done in our midst. And I just want to take a minute this morning to invite volunteers to stand, because we want to recognize you too. And I know that it's God that gets the glory. I know that. You know that. But if it wasn't for a lot of people doing a lot of things, we wouldn't do what we do. Amen? And so I just want to invite you volunteers, and I'm talking volunteers who teach Sunday school and nursery and praise team and VBS and kids club and youth group and board members and shovel snow and cook meals. If you do any of that, please stand so we can say thank you. Don't be bashful. You know who you are, volunteers. Let's give them a thank you. Thank you so much to all of you for praying, for being part of our family, for giving of your time, of your talents, of your tithes. Thank you to all of you for being here and being part of our church family. Excuse me, wasn't last Sunday a treat? I sure thought it was. If you didn't happen to be with us last Sunday, we had our police officers and our firefighters here, and it was just a great day to recognize them and say thank you. So, I want to say thank you to all of you for what you do for the kingdom of God. Because as Richard said 2 weeks ago on servanthood, and I mentioned it last week just momentarily because we had servants here, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all called to serve at some capacity. We're not all going to be pastors. We're not all going to be missionaries or evangelists. But we are called to serve to some capacity, not ourselves, but the living God. And I want to thank you today for serving. I want to thank you for what you do. In some cases, only God knows what you do. In your giving of yourself, in your prayer, in your fasting, whatever it is. Some cases, only God knows what you do. But I want to thank you for being part of advancing the kingdom. Time is running out. We're in tough times in America, in the world. And I just want to say thank you for being faithful to the living God. All of you, I so appreciate you, and I do pray for you. Richard and I do pray for you. And I believe that we can make a difference with the Lord as our guide, with the Holy Spirit as our helper. I believe we can make a difference in our communities for the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And so I want to say thank you for what you do. But most importantly, I want to thank God for His goodness. Amen? I want to thank God for His goodness and His blessings and His mercy and His grace and His, as the Bible said, the unspeakable gift of Jesus. We've been looking at parables, and I want to look at a parable again this morning. This parable comes from Matthew 20. If you've got your Bibles, that's where I'm going to be, Matthew chapter 20. I want to remind us just a little bit of what we've been looking at. A couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks maybe even, in the fourth parable that we looked at, we looked at the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. We saw the importance of being ready because at the midnight cry sounds, 5 were ready and 5 were not. And that's the way it's going to be for people. Some are going to be ready and some are not. Not that they couldn't have been, they didn't get ready. May that not be our case today. The next week we looked at the parable of the wedding feast. That was the fifth parable we looked at. And we saw there that the invitation of God had been sent out. And it was being rejected. They went back to the farm. They went back to the factory. They went back to what they're doing. They didn't receive the gift. They didn't receive the invitation. They didn't put on Christ. And in that parable he said, then go out into the highways and invite the good and the bad. And when he brought them into the feast, some of them still hadn't put on Christ. And so we saw in that parable of the wedding feast, the feast is ready. The invitation has been sent. We must put on Christ. We must be ready. He may return at any moment, or our lives may be over at any moment. Speaking of lives being over at any moment, did you hear this week? Last week we celebrated with our firefighters, some of the local firefighters that are from Motley here. Did you read the story this week that an Ada firefighter got called to the scene, dashed out to the scene, and it was his son who perished? That's what happens in the life of firefighters and sometimes police officers. Our lives can be over in a moment, and we must put on Christ. We must be ready, or we will miss heaven completely. And if we miss it, it's eternally too late. And so in this parable that we're going to look at today, it's called The Workers Paid Equally. And I know I've referred to this parable before, but it fits along the lines of what I've been talking about in this series and the parable. So I want to refer to Matthew 20 again this morning. If you've got your Bible, that's where we're going to go. We've got to get at it because time is clicking away. Matthew chapter 20. Here we go. Again, Jesus starts it for the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever's right, I'll give you. So they went, and he went out, and about the sixth, and about the ninth, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, why have you been standing here all day idle? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So you get the flavor. You remember the story, you remember the definition of a parable. An earthly context with a heavenly, a spiritual meaning. They could understand. A guy comes into the city square. He comes in at 6 o'clock in the morning when the day would start, and he's hiring these laborers. Go into the vineyard. The harvest is ready. We need to do it today. And so at 6 o'clock in the morning, he said, I'm going to give you a denarius. Go in. He comes back at 9 and 12 and 3 and 5 o'clock. The bell is going to toll at 6 and they're going to get their denarius. And he's still looking for them to come into the vineyard at 5 o'clock. And he said, why are you still here? Because no one gives us a chance. Then go. I'll give you a chance. That's the earthly context of it. And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers, gather them up, give them their wages, beginning with the last ones, the one that came in at 5 o'clock, it's now 6, and begin with the ones that came in at 5 o'clock and give them their pay. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. That was a day's wage. But when the first one came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received that denarius, they complained against the landowner, saying, These guys, they only worked for an hour. They complained, Jesus said. These last men have worked only an hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and he said, friend, I have done nothing wrong. I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours. Go your way. I wish to give the last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? And then he said to them, or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. We've seen that phrase several times. For many are called, but few are chosen. Few are chosen because few are responding. Several points in this parable. God is looking for people to come into the vineyard, just like the feast is ready. This parable is very similar to that. God is looking for people. Come into the vineyard. Come into the vineyard. I've got a place for you. This parable shows us that God is inviting people throughout their lives very early. Some will accept the invitation into the vineyard very early. Some will come later. Some will come later than that. And some will come very, very late in life. But God is still willing, that's called grace, to let them come into the vineyard. The pay, regardless of if they came in at 6 a.m. that day or 5 p.m., this pay was the same. Heaven is available if they will repent and come to Christ. It doesn't matter if it's in the 11th hour of life. That's what this parable is about. The pay is the same. The thing that strikes me about this parable is some people headed towards heaven are angry that others will get there. Complained. Yeah, but. I've served you all my life. And they've been a scoundrel all their life. And they get the same pay. What strikes me about this parable is some people complaining about others' salvation, when we should be rejoicing as the angels in heaven rejoice every time a sinner repents and comes to Christ. We should be rejoicing. And yet Jesus said some will complain because others have come to Christ late in life. He said when they had received it in verse 11, that's the first workers that got their denarius, they complained against the landowner. These men haven't worked very long. And you've made them equal to us. They complained about this gift that these guys got. They were mad because of the grace of God. In today's thinking, we would probably say, what do you mean? What do you mean that sexual deviant or that pervert or that atheist or that ISIS guy gets to come to heaven too, even if he decides in the 11th hour? Because the great grace of God is available to them too, even if it's in the 11th hour. And so we might argue today, what do you mean that person that abused me? I've had people tell me this. You mean to tell me, Jim, that if that person repents of their sin and comes to Christ, they get to go, they get to experience God's grace and go to heaven too? They abused me. And I said, that's the grace of God. And I've heard people say that I'm not sure I want to go if that person is going to be there and experience the grace of God. I'm not sure I want to go. That's the wrong attitude. Some of these workers had the wrong attitude. Jesus said in this parable to those persons that had the wrong attitude, is your eye evil because I am good? Because I want to offer grace to everybody and perhaps you don't? Is your eye evil because I'm good? If someone decides in the 11th hour of life they have been a sinner who needs a Savior and repent of all their sin and receive Christ as Lord, the reward is the same. They get the denarius and I say hallelujah. That's the grace of God. You say, Jim, that's not fair. Well, that's what they said. They said, well, that's not fair. I've been serving you my whole life. They just come to Christ now and they get the same thing. That's the grace of God. We cry foul. That's not right. Well, who are we to tell what God's grace is right for? We're just like the second son in the parable of the prodigal. Remember the story? Luke 15. Remember the story? Work with me here. We ain't quite done. The second son was mad because there was a party for the first son. Yeah, but he blew everything, Pop. He blew it on wine, women, and song. And now you're having a party? I ain't coming into that party. That's the same kind of attitude. God says, why is your eye evil? Because my grace is good. I've told you a lot of stories over the years of people that have come to Christ in the 11th hour. I rejoice and I praise God every time that happens. I've told you stories and I'd love to recount every one of them, but it would take a while. But I've told you stories of my neighbor leader, George, 70-some years, rejected God, had no time for Him whatsoever. And then weeks before he died, in a care center room in Pine River, called upon the name of Jesus and received the denarius. I've told you the story of Ronnie Montgomery, who was lying in a hospital bed right over here after having quadruple bypass surgery in his heart in St. Cloud and got shipped to Staples for rehabilitation. And I was still working at the factory, and one of his daughters said, Jim, will you go see my dad? He's not doing too good, and I'm pretty sure he's not ready to die. And I went over there and talked with Ronnie for a good hour after I got my work day done that day, and I said, your heart, how's your heart, Ron? Well, they did a quadruple bypass. I said, how's your spiritual heart? Are you ready to die? And he said, I don't think I am. And he received Christ that day and died a few weeks later. I've told you the story. My buddy Don, who I visited for 2 hours one day on a Friday afternoon, by Sunday night his wife called. She said, Jim, Don's dead. 2.5 days later. And I learned after I did his funeral from his sister, who was a believer, and talked to him about his soul on Saturday morning. He said, Jim was here yesterday, and he told me about the Lord, and he told me what to do, and I got right with God last night. And he died 1.5 days later. I've told you about my buddy Aldine. I've told you about my buddy Rick, who was 40-some years old and rejected God his whole life. Maybe knew about him, but had no time for him. And I told Rick my whole story one day in the hospital in Staples. And one day while I'm visiting Rick, he's hurting. He's dying fast of cancer. And I told Rick, I said, Rick, how is your faith? And he said, Jim, you remember that day you told me your story in the hospital in Staples? I said, yes. I just told you what God has done for me. He said, I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking, if God is real, I need him, or it's going to be too late. And he trusted Christ as Lord, and he died, and we did his funeral, and we celebrated because for his 40-some years he rejected Christ, but then he went into the vineyard and he received the denarius. I've told you stories about my friend Bubba, who told his dad and me and others for a long, long time, I don't talk about religion and I don't talk about politics. And I'm pretty sure I told him a time or two, I don't blame you, I don't either. But I do talk about Jesus. And on his dying days, I talked to my buddy Bubba, who'd never wanted to talk about Jesus or religion or politics. And I said, Bubba, do you know Jesus loves you? Do you know he died for you? If you'll trust him, will you trust him? And Bubba said, yes, I believe in him. Yes, I'll trust him. And he died a few days later. I've seen it over and over and over. And some people scoff at 11th hour conversions and say, just like a jailhouse conversion, they just want to get out of jail. Well, some of them probably do. But I've seen the reality of transformation and salvation in the 11th hour. And Jesus said to those that were mad at that, is your eye evil because I am good? If I want to redeem somebody in the 11th hour, shouldn't we rejoice? Shouldn't we? As long as they have responded to Christ, as long as they responded to the vineyard owner at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they went into the vineyard at 6 o'clock, they got the denarius. And as long as somebody, anybody, will say yes to the master, even if today is the last day, and they have been a scoundrel, we have been a scoundrel our whole life long. If he says come, and we say yes, I'll go, and we repent and we receive Christ, we get the denarius. And I say hallelujah. The grace of God. As I have prepared for this sermon, I thought, what about those cats that say, you know what, I'm just going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to wait till he comes out at 3 o'clock tomorrow, and I'm going to take the easy road out. This particular vineyard owner got the work done that day. He didn't come back to the square the next day. I wouldn't recommend waiting. Life may be over today. Life may end today. On April 22nd, 2009, I met Howard Kupinski for the first time. I never knew Howard, and I was asked to do his wedding on that day, and I didn't know him. You say, well, that's a little weird, preacher. Is that how you do everything? No, that's not how I do everything. But God laid on my heart just a few days prior to that, when I was asked by his fiance, will you do our wedding for us on Sunday at a little log church? Because he's had cancer, and he's going back to Mayo Hospital on Monday to see if he's got cancer again. He's only 30-some years old. I met Howard for the first day on April 22nd, 2009. And I greeted him in that little log church. It was cold that day, wasn't it, Mary? Mary come along to play her guitar. It was cold that day. No electricity and no heat in that little country church. And I met Howard for the first day. I just believed it was from God that I would take on this little task of marrying. We did our church services and went over there and did that little wedding service on a Sunday. And I met Howard for the first time. And we visited for a while. And we did the wedding. And he went to Mayo the next day. Long story short, his cancer came back. Howard wasn't exactly a churched person at the time, but he started coming to church right over there 2 weeks after we did his wedding. And a couple of weeks after he started coming to church over here, I had an altar call like so often I do, and Howard come marching right down the center aisle. He said, I know of my own mortality. I know I've got cancer, and I know I'm not right with God, and I need Him. And Howard gave his life to Jesus that day. And a short time later, we baptized him right over there in the old sanctuary, and he got sick. And he got a lot of pain. And he was in and out of hospitals all over. Staples, Mayo, I visited him in both of them. And the long and the short of it is, Howard would call me. We'd visit for hours. We'd visit on the phone. I'd go visit him in a hospital. We'd visit for hours. And God got a hold of his heart and he transformed him. And now he was the one praying for those people that had wronged him in his life. God had transformed him. And I remember visiting that last time in the Mayo Hospital, and he was in so much pain he couldn't hardly stand it. And then he came home, and a few days later he was gone. And on February 20th, 2012, I buried another 40-year-old friend. But he received the denarius. Even if he waited to the 11th hour of life, he got right with God. He knew he was a sinner, just like we are, who needed a Savior. And he got right with God. And he received the denarius. He's rejoicing with these others that I've mentioned to you and many more today in the presence of Jesus, because he came to a point in his life where he knew he needed to get into the vineyard. He knew the feast was ready and the invitation had been sent. And he did something to put on Christ. And sometimes we scoff at 11th hour conversions and say they're not real. I've seen them. They're real. I'd love to tell you about Leanne, who I met on a Monday afternoon. I didn't know her either. Never knew her from the man on the moon or the woman on the moon. And I sat down with her in a Brainerd hospital room on that Monday afternoon, and I just began to tell her story, because that's my story, because that's what God told me to do. Long and the short of it, she trusted Christ that day. She prayed and wept and received Christ that day. And 2 weeks later, her family called me and said, Jim, Mom's gone. 2 weeks. And at her funeral, I said the same thing that I've said at all these others. They received the denarius. It might have been the 11th hour, but they got right with God. And you see, that's the grace of God. That's this story that Jesus tells in this parable. If we will finally come to our senses, and it may be at 5 o'clock, and my life is going to be over at 6, but if we will finally come to realize we are a sinner that needs a Savior, He will take us by His grace and say, I forgive you. Welcome. And over I've seen it done. Over and over I've seen the grace of God reach down into humanity in the 11th hour. Why? Because He's not willing that any should perish, Peter said. And Paul writes to Timothy, God's desire is that all men should be saved. And so His grace is still available even unto the 11th hour of life if we'll only take it. If we'll only believe and repent of our sin and receive Him as Lord, the 11th hour is too late, but I said this at a funeral not long ago because one of the guys I did another funeral for, his name is Jimmy Walters, was in the 11th hour. And I shared at his funeral, it was the 11th hour. But he received Christ and he's with Jesus today. But I wouldn't wait. Some people have told me, well, I'm pretty young, I got a lot of time. Do we? Do we have? We don't know that we've got tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And we may be in our 11th hour. That's what I told George in that hospital, in that care center bed. I said, brother, we are in our 11th hour. I knew he was, and I was not sure if I was myself. But if we will come to the Master and say, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. All day long, I haven't had any time for you. I've even outright rejected you. But I know I need you now. If we will get to that point, friends, of repentance and believing and receiving Christ, God in His grace will receive us home. And so I don't know where you are today. Some of us are in our 11th hour. But if you haven't got right with God, what are you waiting for? Tomorrow might be too late, but in His grace, He says, I've still got a place for you. It's 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock is coming fast. But I've still got a place for you. If you'll say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Forgive me. I know I need Christ. I know He's the Savior of the world. I believe in Him. I want to receive Him as Lord. He'll take you. And at the end of the day, the denarius will be yours. Just like it was for Billy Graham or somebody else that came at 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. and 12 and 3. The denarius will be yours because you finally said yes. But don't wait. Don't wait. The fireman got to that crossroad up in Ada, Minnesota this week. And it was a 16-year-old son gone to eternity. I don't know anything about his spiritual well-being. I'm not his judge. I'm just saying that life can be over that fast. And if you haven't come to the Master to receive pardon and experience His grace, stop waiting. Someday it'll be too late. We're going to sing page 463. Is that what it is, Jeff? 463. And if you're here today and you're not sure you've got right with God through faith in Christ, let me help you. Or come to the altar and pray, or pray where you're at, but get right with Him today. Friends, let me just say again that the grace of God is available to everyone. When He sent His Son to die on Calvary's tree, Jesus said to Himself, for God so loved the whole world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, the grace of God is available. We may be early in life yet, and we may be very late. We really don't know. But if you haven't experienced the grace of God and been washed in the blood of Jesus, please do not delay any longer. Pray, repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as Savior and be born again before it's eternally too late. Father, we've seen again in this story of the workers paid equally. that your grace just never quits. It just never runs out. And we are a very blessed people, human beings, because of that. And even though we may have rejected you for 20, 30, 50, 70, 80 years, your grace is still available. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father, today for this story that reminds us, even if we decide in the 11th hour of life, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness is still there. If only we will put on Christ. And so, Lord, I just pray every one of us here today is absolutely sure our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because there was that point in my life when I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I do need a Savior. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Take over my life. I receive you as Lord. I pray that every one of us here can say with confidence, when the trump of God sounds, I'm ready. Because I have made peace with God through faith in His Son, Jesus. And I'm walking with Him today. And so, Father God, thank you for your grace that keeps calling. Dismiss us now with your blessing and your guiding hand. And if we haven't been there, if we haven't committed to you, may we do that today before it's too late. Go with us, Lord. Encourage, strengthen, save, forgive, heal. Thank you for everyone here, Father. Dismiss us with your hand of guidance and blessing, encouragement and hope. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.